This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Governor Peter Shumlin's ambitious plan to have Vermont become the first single-payer health care state in the U.S. never materialized, but in a quieter way, the health care system in Vermont is changing. Accountable Care Organizations, or ACOs for short, have already started operating in the state. The basic idea is to move away from the traditional fee-for-service health care model, with doctors and hospitals getting paid based on tests and services they provide, and towards a more coordinated approach that pays healthcare providers a set fee for keeping people healthy, ideally keeping patients from needing costly tests or procedures. We got an up-close look at how one ACO operates in Vermont, visiting the office of Dr. Elisa Jacobs, a primary care physician in Colchester, and Ken, one of her patients.
Hi, Ken.
Hi,
how are
you? How you doing?
It's nice to see you.
Nice seeing you.
How are you doing with your eating, your exercise, your finger sticks? How's all that going?
Well, to be truthful, Doc, you know, we just had holidays, and the holidays is kind of downfall. I think I ate too much cake and frosting because my blood sugar levels were kind of high some days. They've hit well over 300.
Dr. Jacobs has been seeing Ken for more than a decade, and he's had diabetes for about as long. But in 2009, the UVM Medical Center's Colchester Family Practice switched to a patient-centered model, where some of the funding comes in a lump sum dedicated to keeping patients healthy and preventing further health complications. That means greater communication between doctor and patient and more personal responsibility for patients like Ken.
She puts it back on my shoulders and says, Ken, if this is going to work, it's going to be up to you to make it work. I can only advise you, but you're the one who has to do it.
Is that something that didn't happen for you in the past with other medical physicians that you saw?
Yes, very much. It's like most medical people are, you're in for 2 seconds, hi, how are you doing? Goodbye. I mean, you know, take two of these a day and everything else. And, you know, they don't take time to communicate with you.
Ken says he's heard all the messages before. Eat healthier, watch your diet, exercise. But now he's started to actually do it.
Dr. Jacobs recommended that I see the dietitian. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, here goes another one. And sure enough, I mean, I goes in there and Chastity made me so relaxed. I was back in school again. She was teaching me all about my diet, the carbs, and what percentages, and eat this.
Jacob says Ken's turnaround is due to the new team approach emphasized by the Accountable Care Organization, where the doctor works with a team that may include dietitians, social workers, and specialists to personalize the patient's care. It's the crux of the new model and the renewed focus on preventative care.
Trying to meet people where they're at, and we're all trained now in what we call motivational interviewing. So we do active listening and meet a patient where they're at and try to create a goal that they can make on their own that feels achievable.
And reaching that goal of achieving patient satisfaction with their health is particularly important for treating people like Ken who have chronic conditions.
If the goal in healthcare is to make healthcare cost less, then we have to do better at taking care of chronic health issues because that's where the bulk of money is spent. Patients with diabetes have lots of care. They need above and beyond. So yearly eye exams, foot exams, special urine testing, lab testing, et cetera, et cetera. So we now can do that population health management where we can find our patients who aren't here.
The ACO model also relies heavily on doctors being proactive about preventative health care measures. Jacob says her office actively tracks down at-risk patients and urges them to come in for a checkup before they have health complications.
We now have registries, so I can find those patients now if they're not coming in. So we run registries on different schedules, but for diabetes in particular, we would run a registry every 3 to 6 months.
For Ken, who was already showing model patient behavior by scheduling his own appointments in a timely manner, the extra prompting came in the form of coaching, with a concerted effort to take control of his own health. And with that help, he started actually using the tools that he had.
I could see the differences of the ups and downs. And these are things I didn't do every day before. But the fingerprint pick thing, you can see, okay, this particular food isn't really doing me any good, or I got cut down the amount of that food. I definitely feel like more energetic than I felt in a long time.
Many doctors support the team approach that's centered around the patient anyway. They say it's healthier for the patient, regardless of whether it comes with a change in the payment model. But as UVM Medical Center and other state hospitals try out the accountable care approach of paying set fees for keeping people healthy, the lingering question is, can it actually save money? Dr. John Brumstead, who runs the UVM Medical Center, thinks it can. He'd like to see the hospital move to having 80% of its patients paid for under the ACO model by 2017.
Right now, we're rewarded for doing more tests, more procedures, and heaven forbid, if somebody gets a complication financially, that is in some ways beneficial to the healthcare delivery system. If we could change so that for a population of individuals, a set of healthcare providers are given dollars up front to pay for your healthcare for a period of time, to cover everything, then the incentives are totally aligned to keep you as an individual, your family, your community healthy. So that model really does move us forward to prepaying for the care for a population. And that really sets the incentives with the individuals, with their primary care doctor, with the specialists, with the hospitals that are involved, to all line up and find innovative ways that we can keep you healthy. Part of the equation always is that the network of providers, the ACO, needs to maintain rigorous quality standards. Those are measured and tested for to be able to retain all of the reimbursement.
Operating this way will mean major changes in how the overall network of caregivers is structured and communicates, mostly in the way doctors and hospitals and patients coordinate. They need to be a team to cut costs and truly deliver preventative care.
We have confidence, though, that we have built into the system the ability to live within a budget.
For example, he says it's critical that when people leave the doctor's office or hospital, they have a clear understanding of the instructions and strategies necessary for their care.
We're going to be even more incented to make certain that the handoff to home care and other support services in the community are really smooth, to reduce readmissions, to reduce people needing to come to the emergency room.
This seems like it takes a real mindset change for doctors, for nurses, the people that deliver the healthcare. What have you seen so far? What has their reaction been about really changing the way they provide their services to patients?
I think that there's a real collective energy to want to make this change. The reason I've been out there saying we want 80% of the reimbursements to come this way is directly related to this. We as physicians and other providers can't treat one patient or group of patients one way, you know, that we're taking this holistic approach to keeping you healthy and paid that way. And then the next minute, deal with somebody whose care is being paid for on a per encounter basis. You can't do that. You need to move enough of your whole interaction to the new paradigm to really have that culture shift.
For the past 3 years, UVM Medical Center and nearly all the hospitals in Vermont have been trying out the ACO model. If they do save money, they split those savings with federal programs like Medicaid and Medicare. But Dr. Brumstead wants to go even further and have the legislature and federal government give the providers those dollars up front, a pool of money to draw from. But it's unclear if the state would switch to such a model anytime soon, because the big unanswered question remains. What happens if, especially in its early years, more money than is available in the pool is needed to take care of patients? Who would end up paying the extra cost if the pool gets drained too quickly? To use another metaphor, the Vermont healthcare system has not yet had to cross that bridge, but it could come with a toll that healthcare providers and patients find they are unable to pay. For VPR News, I'm Mitch Wertlieb.